Welcome to the first day of this panel's January 2026, believe it or not, case call. I'm Judge Boonstra. I'm pleased and honored to be sitting with Judge O'Brien and Judge Young this month. Judge Young, the second month in a row.
Wow.
As always, I want to give you a couple of points before we begin. Just a reminder that we have been studying your cases for some time. I think you'll find that we are very familiar with your cases, both the facts of your cases and the legal issues that are presented. So we always ask that you keep that in mind when you present your arguments. You don't really need to start from the beginning. We know your cases, so just kind of cut to the chase and get to the significant points and why you believe you should prevail. And I think you'll find that we're up to speed and right with you as you argue that. We have some cases where there are multiple parties on a side, please keep in mind that you are sharing your time that's allotted to that side. So maybe when you come up, you can describe how you plan to divide up your time so that we can keep track of that. We do have some cases involving minors, so children. So please, we really try to protect their privacy interests. These proceedings are broadcast, and so we ask that you use their initials rather than their full names. Anything else? I think with that, let's just go to item number one. Case number 376755, People versus Floyd Russell Galloway, Jr.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. Scott Shimkus appearing for the people. I'd like to reserve up to 5 minutes for rebuttal if it comes necessary to that time.
Thank you.
So, Your Honors, understanding that the issue this Court faces is a quite narrow one, whether the TCF Bank and Bed Bath & Beyond evidence would have been inevitably discovered despite a later search of Defendant Galloway's home, I'd like to highlight really three points. The first is the legal standards that apply. The second is the analogy to Nix versus Williams, and the third is the trial court's mistaken analysis. Quickly to the first point, the two legal standards here that are so important are, one, the standard of review, which is de novo review, and the second is the evidentiary standard that applies as preponderance of the evidence. So we're talking about pretty forgiving standards here that the people more than meet here. Even if the standards were higher, we would meet them here, that there was inevitable discovery in this case.
Well, let me just probe you a little bit there, because I noted that you said that in your brief as well. You have the burden on a preponderance of the evidence standard.
Correct, Your Honor.
And as I recall or understand, you're not contesting at this point, at least, the validity of the seizure of the wallet. What you're saying is, regardless of that, the TCF information and then the Bed Bath & Beyond information would inevitably have been discovered regardless of that, right?
Correct.
So what is the evidence? I understand you argue that, well, as part of the investigation, we subpoenaed 12 financial institutions, and we would have extended that to find TCF as well. What's the evidence you can point to that would have occurred? Evidence.
I think it's a few things. It's the overall timeline of the investigation to begin with. So the investigation starts on December 2nd when Danielle Sislicki first disappears. Within a week of that, December 9th is when this tainted tip comes in. But that same day before that, starts this financial canvassing. So Detective Mertes looked at 12 financial institutions, five of which were the largest in Michigan, and the 12th on that list was TCF Bank. So he's soliciting these banks, trying to find where Mr. Galloway might have accounts so that he can find out where Mr. Galloway was spending his money to possibly find out where Danielle Sislicki was. Because again, remember at this point, she had been missing for only a week. She might have still been alive at that point. So they were trying to find her. And we have this information from the preliminary examination and the 2022 evidentiary hearings, this testimony about timeline. And search warrants are especially important here, too. The sheer number of search warrants in this case, 79 over the course of this investigation, about a dozen of which had been executed before this December 13th search that resulted in finding the wallet and the TCF bank card, and 60 some warrants that came after that. So it shows the tenacity of this investigation, that they were looking for Danielle, and part of that search was that they were looking for Galloway's bank accounts. And so if they had been searching for a dozen already, and then subsequent more after that, there's every reason to believe that they, if it wasn't for finding that wallet and the card and that December 13th search, that they would have simply picked up where they left off. Just like in Nix versus Williams, that they had this grid layout, they were searching, and if it wasn't for the defendant telling the officers where the body was, that search would have continued and they would have found the body. It was essentially within the area to be searched. That's what the case says. And TCF Bank here was absolutely within the area to be searched, this list of financial institutions. And that's one of the things that the trial court faulted the people for here, is that they said, well, how would they have known about TCF Bank? Well, TCF Bank was one of the largest in Michigan. Of course they would have known about TCF Bank. They just hadn't, because they hadn't looked there yet, doesn't mean they weren't going to.
But you're asking us to assume that because they were conducting a good and thorough investigation, they would have done that, right?
But if I can push back on that a little bit, it's not just that it was a good and thorough investigation. This was one of the most thorough, frankly, at least I have ever seen. The sheer number of warrants shows how tenacious the police were here. This wasn't, and not only that, but the infancy of the investigation at the point when they were looking at these financial institutions. This wasn't years down the road. It was hardly weeks down the road. It was less than 2 weeks down the road. And so there was no signs that they were letting off the gas anytime soon on that particular point, not just the investigation as a whole, but on the financial institutions in particular. And so because TCF was so likely to have been found at some point, probably pretty quickly, because Detective Mertes was continuing to look at these financial institutions, there's every reason to believe that he would have looked at TCF and they would have found that account, and they would have therefore found the Bed Bath & Beyond evidence as well. And so the specific evidence we're looking to be admitted here is the transactions that Mr. Galloway did. And now it doesn't even have to be all of them, I wouldn't say, because the other three of the four that corresponded to the time of Danielle's disappearance really didn't yield any information. But that Bed Bath & Beyond evidence, that's what the jury should be entitled to see here, because TCF was so inevitable. Just like in Nix, they would have continued their search, and the area to be searched was all of the banks in Michigan. I mean, at least the largest ones, the 12th of which was TCF, as we pointed out in our brief on this list of largest banks from September of 2016. This isn't even a recent article. And as we pointed out in our brief too, there were TCF banks near Mr. Galloway's home. And so the inevitability of it is the prominence of that bank and the search that had already started 4 days before this search of Mr. Galloway's home that found the wallet and the TCF card. So it's all of these things, Your Honor. It's the timeline of the case as a whole, the investigation, the number of warrants, and the short amount of time between the initial canvassing and the search that's essentially mooted any need to keep searching, because they found his accounts. So the last point I'll make, Your Honors, is about the trial court's mistaken analysis, that there was not much analysis to go on here. The court essentially said, well, because there was no mention of TCF before, it necessarily could not have been inevitable that they were going to find it. But that sort of begs the question. They didn't have to know about TCF before they found the card, because, well, they found the card, and so they stopped searching. So the trial court's analysis is just, it's a little short-shrifted, perhaps. It didn't sort of go all the way. It didn't fully embrace the people's points here about this true inevitability. And the final point I'll make, Your Honors, is we do have a trial date currently set for February 2nd, and so we would ask for an opinion as expeditiously as the court could allow, just in the event that the losing party does appeal up to the Supreme Court.
Thank you for that reminder. Yes. We're pretty quick, but we'll keep that in mind.
Thank you.
Try to meet that. Response?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, Melissa Kraskoff on behalf of the appellee in this matter, Mr. Galloway. I don't typically say a whole lot at oral argument because I think, you know, the court reads our briefs. We don't need to repeat those things. And I think most of the points that were made by the people here today were covered in the briefs. I will say this, though. I'm disturbed at the extent to which the people are asking this court to take Nicks in this case, and particularly in this case. This case is a very unique set of circumstances. And what's happening here is not occurring in a vacuum. It's occurring amongst this sea of misconduct that occurred that resulted in numerous other pieces of evidence being suppressed due to constitutional violations. So I think to say, well, there was this good and thorough and straight investigation happening and the police would have found this anyway, is ignoring everything else that has already happened in this case. This case has already been up in front of this court once before, where other pieces of evidence that were suppressed by the trial court, that suppression was upheld. I don't think that this case is fairly akin to Nick's, where there's a physical grid, a physical map, where you can point to and say, this is the area they were searching. I also don't think that the trial court can be faulted for what the people are calling its lack of analysis when what the trial court was handed was an assumption. The trial court was asked to accept the assumption that the police would have eventually stumbled upon this bank anyway, or this information anyway, without any evidence other than the say-so of the people. There were other financial institutions being looked at. This was not one of them. And I think when you consider that this is also happening in a context where the people are acknowledging that there were constitutional violations on this matter, I don't think that you can say that there was not police misconduct here or government misconduct here to be disincentivized by engaging in this behavior and in what happened here. So I don't have anything else to add to the pleadings I've submitted, but I am happy to take any questions if the court has any.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Shimkus? As you're coming up, maybe too, I just want to ask you a question about something you said earlier.
Of course.
It might help clarify things. I think I heard you say something about TCF being number 12. Did I get that right?
Yes, Your Honor, yes.
What did you mean by that they were number 12? Number 12 of what?
On the list of Michigan's largest banks.
But they weren't like number 12 on the list of banks we're going to subpoena.
That's correct.
Like that. Okay.
Yes, I appreciate the clarification. Yes, it was as part of the article that we had cited in our brief.
What I'm struggling with is how, like if I think about this on a broader scale, this would seemingly imply that it's sufficient to meet preponderance of the evidence when the people come forward and say, for inevitable discovery, we are in the process of doing a thorough investigation that includes financial institutions. So in every, no matter what the warrant says for the search of a home, you snag a wallet, you find some additional information, that's a boon to your investigation. And the inevitable discovery is we check financial institutions as part of our, like that gets repeat. There's nothing unique about, like, yes, I know in your opinion, this is a uniquely great investigation, but that rising to preponderance of the evidence here means that exact scenario can be duplicated no matter what the circumstances are.
So I, Judge Young, I would agree with you if the situation was such that the investigation had not already started any sort of financial canvassing, or perhaps even if they had checked only maybe a handful of banks, maybe one or two or three banks or something along those lines, and then they find this wallet and they say, oh, inevitable discovery, that we would have found this particular bank. But I think what's unique about this case and why this is inevitable here is because of the sheer number of banks that they had already checked and this very tight timeline from when they had started checking to when they had found the card in the search. It's not simply that, well, as a matter of course, within these types of investigations, sometimes we check financial records, or even most of the time we check financial records. Here, it's that they did check financial records, and not just a few, but they checked more than a dozen. And that and the rest of the investigation shows that they were going to keep doing that until they found his account, wherever it might be.
How is that not exactly what Judge Warren said, which is you've checked a bunch of financial institutions, none of which are TCF?
Well, I think
makes me think that the discovery would not be inevitable because you have not gotten to it.
I think the problem there, Your Honor, is it, as I said before, it sort of begs the question. If TCF was sort of, if they already knew about TCF, they would have checked TCF. And so for the lower court to say, well, it can't be inevitable here because they didn't already check TCF, that it's sort of backwards, if I'm making sense. Just be
backwards so much as it's just not enough to reach a preponderance. Like if there were an investigation that said, like, this is, I think what Judge Warren was saying is this is different than the police saying we've narrowed it down to two institutions and we haven't gotten to them yet. We're between TCF and Bank of America, both of which are near this general geographic area to pull from NICS. But that's not what happened. There's a list of the most common banks in the state of Michigan, and they're just being checked off one at a time.
And that's exactly the point, Your Honor, that if they're being checked off one at a time, TCF was in that pool, and so they would have gotten there. I think that's the point, is that it's in the pool, it's in the grid, right? The grid consists of the number of, well, at least the largest ones, of which TCF was. And I think
they discovered a bank card for Independent Bank or Mom and Pop Credit Union. Because it's smaller and not breaking the top 12 in size, you would not reach a preponderance of the evidence.
I think it would be a harder case. I will grant you that.
It's because of TCF size and number of users in Michigan that you reach preponderance of the evidence in this case.
I don't know that it's because of that, but it's certainly a contributing factor that raises us over that preponderance standard. Yes.
Can I just follow up again?
Of course.
I'm sorry.
No, please.
So is it simply a fact that we know today that TCF is on the list of the top 12 or something like that, and we can argue, speculate, whatever you want to call it, that they would have gotten there in the investigation? Or is there evidence in the record that in this particular case, they were focused on systematically going toward each of the top financial institutions? Is there evidence that they were going to do that? Or simply assuming that because they were in the top 12, we know that they would have gotten there.
There is evidence of it because of the list of institutions that they had already checked. So they had checked the big banks on that, at least five of the big banks on that list, Chase, PNC, Comerica, Flagstar, and Citizens Bank. And again, because they had checked those, there's every reason to believe they would have continued to check those bigger banks.
I think that's the every reason to believe. I think to get to your point, where's the evidence? Why do we have every reason to believe? Did you present something to Judge Warren that said, we've printed the list of top 12 banks in Michigan. Here's five that are crossed out. We're about to do the next five. But were you just saying if we look at the ones they've tackled, they're in the top five. They were clearly doing this. Ergo, it would have happened. Was it the first one where you had documentation? Here's our plan. Here's the top 12 banks in Michigan. We've crossed out five. We're moving on. Or is it the second one where you're like, they've already searched these five. Those are really big. And so they're going to continue with really big ones, of which TCF would eventually come up.
It is the latter, Your Honor. Yes. I'm not trying to hide anything here. That is the argument. Yes. That they would have gotten there because of the work they had already done before. It shows the path that they were on. And the search took them off that path. It essentially made it moot that they continued on that path. But the path was straight. It was the largest banks by the evidence we have in the record. And so if they hadn't found TCF before, they would have gotten right back on that road and continued straight down that path. Yes.
else?
I believe that is all, Your Honor. We ask for reversal and to admit this evidence. Thank you.
Thank you both. Very well done. Appreciate your arguments.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Case is submitted.